Thank you, Nathan, for that wonderful overview. Just this, a quick question, and you've alluded to this already. This is a wonderful initiative that is coming from the outside. Is 0x25 viewed as a priority on the inside of these various countries who are struggling with much more fundamental needs, putting food on the table, vaccinating children against communicable diseases? Is this viewed by them as a priority? And if not, can we succeed?
Well, that's a very telling question. I think the answer must be that in dealing now with the poorer countries, to the extent that it's recognized that change in what they are actually doing or what is actually happening now affects that part of the illness, that part of the syndrome of acute kidney injury, the answer is yes, they would be interested. And the examples that come to mind are water, snake bite, which is not unimportant, native medicines, which is not unimportant either. Those are the ones that come to mind immediately. Those countries would certainly be interested in changing those. It makes sense because it's within their sphere. But whether they're interested in post-traumatic acute kidney failure or post-surgical acute kidney failure and the ability to treat those properly with dialysis, I doubt very much whether that can be a primary interest in view of all the other demands that you mentioned. It's just a personal view.
Thanks, Nathan. I think something that I was surprised about the data from the snapshot, maybe more of it will come out later, but I think that one of the ways to get some of these sub-Saharan African countries more engaged in the idea of putting resources behind recognition and prevention of acute kidney injury is perhaps by linking it to their maternal child health programs as a start. And in particular, especially based on the percentage of funding, the proportion of funding that goes to these countries specifically for maternal child health. So the way to, I think, get into this, and this is what we're doing in Tanzania, is really to help healthcare providers and policymakers to understand that their outcomes that are tightly linked to them getting future funding for women and children are linked to AKI, not only through diarrheal illness, but if you think about that, postpartum hemorrhage is the number one cause of death in women across Africa. It's the cause of almost 30% of deaths, and preeclampsia is the cause of 20% of deaths. So that's 50% of maternal mortality. And if we were to intervene and through a backdoor help them recognize that much of the death in preeclampsia and in postpartum hemorrhage is actually due to acute kidney injury, which it is, then they may be more interested in engaging in terms of education in their maternal child health programs, which involve nurse midwives and community health workers and clinical officers and then up the chain to doctors. So that really, I think, is something that the ISN needs to think about in how they're going to do that. It didn't come out in the snapshot, but the data show that these are the major contributors. You know, we don't have good links to dirty water and diarrheal disease. I believe it is there as well, but for sure, from the maternal child health framework, that is where they'll be able to bring that link in, and that is what will get them more money for funding those programs. And so that's really the inroad, I think, in many of these countries. And these education programs, training programs at international training centers for nurses within these countries, they have curricula. They have curricula that are used across Africa and are modified by country, and they renew them regularly. And that is the way that we have to get the dialogue in there on AKI. And it's not just, you know, preventing postpartum hemorrhage and diarrheal disease is a whole other ballpark, but just recognizing that those problems lead to AKI and then equipping these places to be able to measure serum creatinine is going to be the key. And that's the next step. But just to get it even in the discussion is, I think that is the inroad.
Yes, thank you, Karen. It's absolutely clear to me that the maternal peripartum, postpartum hemorrhage, all this problem is just as the same in principle as having water that's contaminated. It's an internal problem, the kind of question that Isaac asked a moment ago. It's an internal problem of a country and fits well within the group of problems that a country is likely to invest in as opposed to more esoteric difficulties that I mentioned before.
Thanks, Nathan. I just wanted to mention, you know, this crisis in nephrology with fellowship training. I'm from Dartmouth, and we have a relatively new fellowship. You know, in past years, I think we viewed the percentage of international medical graduates in nephrology with kind of a negative vision, and I wonder if we couldn't turn that around and view it as a positive thing. I can tell you at Dartmouth, we haven't had any U.S. graduates. It's been all international medical graduates, and they've all been wonderful. We've trained 3 fellows from Nepal, my fellows here, Nick from Ghana. And you know, I think it used to be thought of as a loophole, but there's actually, I think, in most training programs, 25% of graduates cannot have done a residency, but can come in and train in a program. I think that still exists. And I wonder if we couldn't imagine helping fill this crisis in nephrology in the United States by actually specifically bringing in graduates from these countries to train them and trying to advocate for that. I mean, I think the pleasure of academic nephrology would be great in training these fellows and in trying to help use that as a tool to address this global crisis.
May I ask, how would you organize that given some power? What would you actually do?
I think we'd have to change our vision that this is a negative thing and change it to a positive one. I think that there was some talk about closing this loophole. I think I had asked Bob Brown to go to Bob was going to mention this at the training director's program this year, but I think it might take advocating for this specifically. I mean, the idea would be that if you pass the USMLE, we could bring someone for a year. I mean, I'm specifically thinking of my own work in Haiti. I'd love to bring a resident for a year to come and spend it at Dartmouth. And then, in the old days, we'd say they wouldn't be able to be certified in the United States, and that might be viewed negatively, but we could view that positively and say they can go back to their own country and then practice nephrology and have this relationship with our center.
Thank you. Claudio.
Nathan, I will try to be provocative. When I was young, it was very fashionable to go around and collect paper to help poor people. At that time, I used to be practical, and I told people that if we were going to the market loading watermelons on the trucks, we could get twice as much, so we could help twice the poor people. But they were telling me that collecting paper was much more fashionable and so on. So this is a wonderful initiative. However, I think we should be aware that we have an entire world of specialists that are still not convinced that AKI is important. For example, radiologist just published a paper saying that contrast-induced AKI does not exist. Cardiologists call worsening renal function AKI after cardiac intervention or cardiac invasive cath management and so on. And they say that this is an innocent, transient, unimportant increase in serum creatinine. So we have hard time also to convince nephrologists to recognize that AKI is important, and this may be in fact the doorway to chronic kidney disease. Now, with this initiative, I saw already now since 1 year a beautiful list of ideas. And now a paper is coming out on Lancet, or 3 papers, or 5, or whatever. But the truth is, I would rather start from solid evidence, and then I will decide what to do. Today we have no evidence, actually, that AKI could be preventable, represent a very high source of death in these regions. And I have the fear that this is very fashionable, very nice, very humanistically glamorous initiative, but I'm not sure that we really have evidence for this. So, of course, I will help as much as I can, and I already listed myself to help, but I just want to be able to convince myself so that I can convince other people that this is important, and it is not just like collecting paper instead of watermelons.
Well, you're not really seriously saying, Claudia, that it's just a humanistic, emotional kind of reaction to a problem. There surely is a basis of clear work that if you treat dehydration, for example, as a good example, severe dehydration that untreated leads to acute kidney failure and death, that in the kind of population we deal with in your amazing hospital, this doesn't occur when you treat it. And I think perhaps the one example in Africa that immediately comes to mind is the treatment of malaria, that where malaria is dealt with, then the deaths from AKI do get much fewer. But do we not have the medical knowledge already to see that there are certain conditions that result in AKI? They're much more common in poor countries. In countries that used to be poor, or at least have poor medicine, and then improve, the proportion of patients with this particular problem is less, and the mortality is lower. Isn't there that line of evidence? I agree. It's not very clear in detail, to give one example, because I mentioned it earlier, about diarrhea, gastroenteritis, and AKI is perfectly clear. I mean, it's not that clear. But don't you think there's enough indirect evidence to justify all the measures that we're trying to institute? I think you should answer.
I think the colleague before said that there are several causes that cause early death in neonates and maternal deaths as well that probably have nothing to do with AKI. So I was put in the question to get an answer, not to, you know, say a brilliant, intelligent thing. I'm simply not sure, and the way I approach things is exactly the carpe diem. I have a small problem, and I can get an immediate answer. When I see big problems, and I expect huge solutions, I am a little bit skeptical that we can do something. The first question that I had is, we have so hard time convincing nephrologists that AKI is important that I don't need to go to Africa to solve the problem. I have to solve the problem in my own hospital, where a huge number of physicians do not understand AKI and they don't think it is important. So that's my point.
Thank you, Claudio. Yes, ma'am.
I just want to add, I think it's important. I've spent most of my career in HIV, and what has made the difference there is a strong connection of the dots and strong evidence of the linkage between HIV and other illnesses. And we've seen great strides in Africa around TB, although there's a tremendous amount of work to be done, and cervical cancer. And I think having that science and having that well published, not only in peer-reviewed journals, but in the mass media, to get politicians to clearly understand the linkage is absolutely essential to get the money and the resources there. And I was in South Africa last week speaking to the chief nursing officer and asked her about this and what do you think. And she said, at least from the healthcare workers' point, they see the patients at the end stage who are waiting for dialysis and who die without having dialysis. And I think that is critical to keep in mind, that even if it is not a priority of public policy and of the politicians, there are all the health workers who see these difficult choices being made on a day-to-day basis, and they know that more needs to be and should be done. We heard very dramatically last evening about parents who have to make the decision whether their child will live or die because they have no money to pay for the end-stage care. And I think it's really important to keep that in mind, to keep both in mind, and try to connect that with a very strong story. That's what's going to make the difference.
Thank you. Jose.
Nathan, first of all, thank you so much for your realistic, because I think it was very realistic, presentation on the big, big problem. I have great doubt that we will succeed in treating acute renal injury by 2025. My emphasis, by all means, would not be on treatment. I think that acute renal failure is exactly the end result of the failure to prevent it. Okay. People should be aware of the severity of the problem, the frequency of it. By the way, I have learned it's more frequent than I thought it was. I read the papers and everything else, but after listening to you, this is a much worse situation than I ever thought. If I were Bill Gates, which unfortunately I'm not because I would love to have all that money to distribute, I would give you a great contribution if you convince me that you're going to put 100% of your efforts in preventing it. And if you emphasize treatment, I will give you zero. I think that we turn off many of those politicians. I have been in Africa many times, and I love to be in Africa in certain places. I'm so sorry that other places that I used to know have gone the way they have gone with all these diseases. But I would never, never, never support emphasis on therapy. I would give absolutely everything we have to prevention. Having lived the past 20 years, 18, 20 years, having to prioritize money for projects, okay, and often having to support the ones that were not my interest, but the ones that I know that I could sell, I know one thing. We can sell prevention here. We can emphasize water treatment. We can emphasize all the things. But if you are talking about something as expensive and complicated and painful and difficult to understand as dialysis, we are going to lose all the attention.
Thank you very much.